vitamin B12, its official name is cyanocobalamin, and it has cyanide in it. There are many compounds in our foods that have cyanide in them, and they're not only not toxic to us, they're essential for us. We couldn't live without vitamin B12. So the fact that it has cyanide in it is not alarming at all. It's just what you might expect. It could be a vitamin, it could be a food. But the question here is, what would release the cyanide? If the cyanide and the benzaldehyde, by the way, which is also toxic, if those two components were to be released from the amygdalin molecule, then you would have a very toxic event. So the question is, what releases them? And the amazing thing is that there is an enzyme very specific for that molecule that releases it, unlocks it. I call it the unlocking enzyme, and it is found in cancer cells, and primarily only in cancer cells, which means that if you are eating foods that contain a very small amount, is all it takes, trace amounts of this substance, amygdalin, in your food supply, then when it comes in contact with a cancer cell, it also comes in contact with this unlocking enzyme, which now breaks the molecule apart, releases the benzaldehyde and the cyanide, and attacks the cancer cell. Normal cells do not have this enzyme in them. And so therefore, this is a very selective mechanism that attacks the cancer cell and only the cancer cell. So it's an amazing mechanism of nature. It's obviously a part of the natural process. It's the way the body is supposed to function. So that is how the amygdalin molecule works in attacking cancer.
Hmm. Where can we find amygdalin, for instance?
Amygdalin is found in about 1,400 edible plants. It's everywhere. You'll find it in grasses, especially the broadleaf grasses, and this is interesting to me, especially because we know that when animals, especially dogs and cats, are sick, they have an instinct to start eating grasses. And they always select the broadleaf grasses, the tundus grass and the arrow grass and things like that. And people have wondered why. Well, it's one of the reasons, I think, is because animals have an instinct for certain foods. To them, it's a food that has healing capacities. We took a fresh apricot to a zoo, San Diego Zoo, years ago, to test out something that I had read in a book. Somebody said that primates, apes, and monkeys would eat the apricot seeds, and they would break open the pit and not eat the fleshy part, but just go for the seed. And they said that that was an instinct, and I didn't believe it. So I went down to the zoo, and I talked to the people there and said, we'd like to do a little experiment, do you mind? And he thought it was kind of an interesting experiment. So we went to the cage where that is a big gorilla, and he's sitting there looking at us, you know, and we're looking at him. We threw in a couple of fresh apricots, and he wasn't very interested. Then he came down, picked one up, looked at it, smelled it, tasted it, looked at it again, pulled away the fleshy part, got down to the hard pit, put it in his teeth, backed up, cracked the pit open, took the seed out, and ate it. This was an animal that had never seen an apricot before. So there's an instinct there. It's in a lot of foods. And we can learn a lot by observing nature. You don't have to be a laboratory scientist, you know, to get halfway to the right answers. It helps to have an understanding on a scientific basis, but just to observe nature. One of the clues they had early on in this story is that in the Midwest part of the United States, as the snow was melting away, some of the farmers discovered that the cattle, who during the winter months would develop cancers in their mouths particularly, they call them the winter cancers because they often showed up every winter, when the spring came along and the cattle began to eat the grasses that were coming up through the snow, the cancers would go away. Now, why is that? So they started to look at the grasses, and once again, we find these broadleaf grasses, and it was a source of amygdalin. So you can go on and on and on. The best source of amygdalin today, and the most concentrated source, is in the seeds of the fruits in the rosacea family. That would be the peach, the plum, the apricot, and so forth. People buy them in commercial quantities as apricot seeds. That's where most of the amygdalin comes from today. If you eat an apple seed and chew it, bite into it, you'll get a very bitter taste. And that is the taste of this substance. That's amygdalin. So you find it in many sources, but the problem is that the taste is bitter. And because the taste is bitter, people who have the option, those in affluent societies, reject it. They go to the more sweet foods. Whereas those in primitive societies don't have that luxury, they will eat them even though they're bitter. And wouldn't you know, those in primitive societies have a much lower rate of cancer than those in modern society. And you can chart it perfectly. As modern man continues to refine and synthesize his foods and make them sweeter and sweeter, the rate of cancer goes up. And yet when you go to those cultures where they still eat the primitive foods, you find that cancer is non-existent or very close to non-existent. And we're convinced it's because of the food supply.
The Norwegian Food Safety Authorities have earlier this year in 2007, based on a recommendation from German food safety authorities, warned us against consuming more than 1 to 2 apricot kernels per day to avoid cyanide poisoning. Can you please comment on this? Is it dangerous?
Well, the first thing you have to do is laugh at that statement because it comes from total lack of understanding of what's going on. The people in Hunza, for example, have never had cancer. And in Hunza, at least until very recently, a man's wealth was measured by the number of apricot trees he owns. And people eat apricot seeds there all the time. They eat a lot more than 1 or 2. They eat them like candy, you know. So I think the first thing we need to do, and by the way, they don't have cancer. And by the way, they also live to be 90 and 100 years old. So first thing we have to do is rush to Hunza and warn those people to stop eating those apricot seeds, you see, because I'm sure your medical authorities here are much smarter. And it's a laugh. They don't understand. Now, it is possible, theoretically, to eat too many apricot seeds at one time. You can get sick with it. And there has been a story reported about somebody who even died, they said, from eating a big cup of apricot seeds at one time. Frankly, I doubt the story, because I've known people that have eaten that many, and they did get sick to their stomach, but they got rid of the apricot seeds. But nevertheless, assuming it's true, the fact of the matter is that the enzyme that I mentioned a moment ago, the unlocking enzyme, is found in very small quantities in the apricot seed, at very small quantities, so that when you're eating apricot seeds, it releases a little bit of the cyanide and benzaldehyde in the mouth and in the stomach. And actually, trace amounts of that action are found to be pretty healthy. People that do this have a lower incidence of cavities, for example. It fights the bacteria in the mouth that might lead to cavities. And it's good for digestion in small amounts, which is what it's supposed to be. But when you take excessive amounts, like a cupful, then you could possibly get sick. You get typical reactions of being nauseated or have a headache or something like that. So we've always said that, you know, nature can only do so much. You can always abuse nature. Our advice is, eat as many apricot seeds at one time.